Hi everyone, good morning. I'd like to thank Dr. Hubert for that introduction and for putting this, as well for Dr. Keeling, for putting on this this session that's so dear and close to my heart. And I will be presenting the research that, some of the research that we've, that the Blomquist Lab and the Tittiger Lab have done in the last decade or so. So as you all know, bark beetles are a big problem in Western Canada and Western USA. And here locally, in this area, around 1986 through 1994, we had a big drought, and we had about 30% of our trees killed in the Tahoe Basin. And so these bark beetles are a big problem, and all their attacks are pheromone mediated. So our model species is Ypspinite, and Ypspinite isn't an aggressive beetle. It usually just attacks down trees, but we study it because it's the beetle that we know most about, and it also produces a lot of the similar pheromones that other aggressive beetles produce. The major pheromone of Yps beetles include ypsthionone at different enantiomeric blends, like for example for the western and eastern Ypspinite, and a mixture of ypsthionyl and ypsinol for beetles like Yps confusus and Yps paraconfusus. So just to give you a quick review and to bring everyone up to speed, some of you who went to Gary's talk yesterday, for you guys it might be a little of a review, but just to bring everyone up to speed, I'm going to go over some of this background. So before genomics, we knew that the beetles, we thought that the pheromone precursors were synthesized by the host, and later we found that no, they're actually produced by the beetle. It was also found that the pheromone-producing tissue was the anterior midguts of males, and pheromone is biosynthesized through the mevalonate pathway. So this is the proposed pathway for the western Ypspinite for pheromone production of ypsthionyl. And so the three proposed steps, the three last proposed steps were unknown, but they were thought to include a geranyl diphosphate synthase that would catalyze the condensation of DMAPP to IPP and DMAPP plus IPP to produce geranyl diphosphate, and then a myrcene synthase would take the geranyl diphosphate and produce myrcene, and then a P450 would hydroxylate myrcene to make ypsthionyl, the final pheromonal ypsthionyl. But so I want to show you how we use genomics to identify the last steps of ypsthionyl and ypsinone pheromone biosynthesis. So Dr. Keeling and Klaus Tittigers and other people in our lab put together an EST project along with microarrays. And when they, of Western Ypspinite midgut tissues. And when they clustered the data for the microarray, they found that there was a cluster that included all the known pheromone biosynthetic genes, well, most of the known pheromone biosynthetic genes, including HMGS and HMGR, the isomerase, and the decarboxylase. But in this group was also included other interesting genes like AP450, GPPS, and three different oxidoreductases. And Dr. Keeling further looked at the mRNA differences, basal differences between males and females, and he found that there was these GPPS, P450, and this dehydrogenase had a lot higher male basal levels than females. So we thought that these were interesting genes to look at, since those are the types of genes that we're thinking catalyzed the last steps of pheromone biosynthesis. So Anna Gill looked at the geranyl diphosphate synthase, and she expressed the recombinant GPPS in E. coli cells, and she also looked at male midgut tissues and found that she was able to produce GPP. Recently, she was able to find that GPPS also converts GPP to myrcene. So this GPPS has a bifunctional activity. So the two proposed steps, catalyzed by geranyl diphosphate synthase and a myrcene synthase, we now know is catalyzed by the same enzyme. So next, we'd like to know what this P450 is that takes myrcene to ipsinol. So once again, when you look at the basal levels, you see that a P450 is really highly up, higher expressed in males than in females. So that we knew that that was an interesting gene to look at. And just as a side note, there's around 100 P450s in a bark beetle. And so to be able to find the one P450 that does the reaction, that's catalyzed in the thermobiosynthetic pathway would be really hard if we didn't have functional genomics. So Pamela Samstrom worked on characterizing this P450, which is called CYP9T2. So Pamela pulled out this P450 out of our EST library. The underlined portion shows the N-terminal targeting sequence to the ER, and this box region shows the conserved heme binding domain, common for all P450s. And when she looked at the expression of CYP9T2, she found that it was male-specific and higher in fed males. And when she looked at the tissue distribution of this gene, she found that it was specific to the anterior midgut, like you would expect for a thermobiosynthetic gene. And then along with William Welch, she modeled CYP9T2. And when they looked at the binding pocket, they found that a small substrate like myrcene would fit comfortably inside the binding pocket of the P450. So she wanted to characterize the P450 function. So she took Ipsipinae midgut microsomes, which contains the activity of the P450s in the beetle midgut, and she assayed for ipsinol production. And she found that only 78% of ipsinol was minus. And if you recall, for Ipsipinae, the pheromone is 95% minus. And she also took and expressed CYP9T2 in the baculovirus expression system, and she assayed for ipsinol production and also found that the recombinant P450 produced an 80-20 blend of ipsinol. And once again, that is the right pheromone blend to attract the beetles. Additionally, she also isolated and expressed the Ips confusus homolog, and it's called CYP9T1. And when she assayed that, it also produced a similar blend of ipsinol, around 86% minus. And the interesting thing is that the pheromone for Ips confusus isn't mostly minus, it's mostly plus. So I remember when we got these results, Gary came into the lab all excited about how he knew that there was more steps involved in the production of pheromone. And he recalled an unpublished paper by Desiree Vanderwall that showed that where she proposed that an intermediate ipsinol would be oxidized to the ketone by a dehydrogenase, and then that a stereospecific reductase would reduce ipsinol to the pheromonal ipsinol. So if we look at the expression data, again we see that there are actually three oxidoreductases came up in the microarray, including 7C7, 24DO1, and 24BO1. So I looked at the expression of all three of them, and only 12DO4 was specific to the males, and was specific to the anterior midgut of the beetles, mostly highly expressed in fed males. And this is what we expected for a femoral biosynthetic gene. So I pulled out the dehydrogenase from our EST library, and underlined here is the cofactor binding site for pyridine nucleotide enzymes, and this boxed area is what's known to be the catalytic region of short chain alcohol dehydrogenases, which is what 12DO4 blasts to. So I expressed 12DO4 in the vacuolar virus expression system and obtained the recombinant protein. And so I took the 12DO4 and gave it racemic ipsdienol as a substrate and added NAD or NADP. And when I did that, we got a retention time in a mass spec that was identical to the ipsdienone standard. So 12DO4 can produce ipsdienone as a product. So now we go back to this pathway and we see that the oxidation of the intermediate ipsdienol is catalyzed by ipsdienone. So the next reaction that we were interested in was this reduction of the ketone to the feromonal ipsdienol. So Desiree Vanderwell was kind enough to synthesize and send me some substrates, including ipsdienone and ipsinone. So I gave the recombinant 12DO4 ipsdienone as a substrate plus NADPH, and then I got an ipsdienol peak, and when we sent these samples down for chirocolumn analysis and compared it to racemic ipsdienol and plus ipsdienol, we find that the ipsdienol that's produced is mostly minus, and we didn't see any traces of plus ipsdienol, so I'm just taking the liberty of saying that we produced 100% minus ipsdienol. So now we know that 12DO4 catalyzes the last two steps in feromonal ipsdienol production. So like, just to remind you, the Western ipsdienol produces mostly minus ipsdienol, so we found how that is made. So the Eastern ipsdienol makes more of a plus pheromone, and so does Ips confuses and Ips paraconfuses. So currently I have the Ips confuses homolog in the expression system, and once all this meeting stuff is over, I can go back to the lab and express some protein and figure out what products the homolog produces. And my undergrad is working on pulling out the Eastern 12DO4 homolog. But that's not the whole story. So as you remember, Ips confuses and Ips paraconfuses also produces ipsinol as a pheromone, and it's mostly the minus ipsinol. And something that I didn't tell you is that ipsdienol also produces ipsinol, but it produces it as an anti-aggregation pheromone. So we thought, okay, maybe we can find the enzyme that catalyzes this reaction. So I had ipsinone that Desiree sent me. I took the recombinant protein, gave it ipsinone plus NADPH, and found that it produces ipsinol. And when you compare it, you put it through a chirocolumn and you compare it to racemic ipsinol, you see that you get mostly minus. And we didn't see any traces of plus ipsinol, so again, I'm taking the liberty of saying that we can produce 100% ipsinol. So now we know that 12DO4 catalyzes the production of feromonal ipsdienol and also of the anti-aggregation pheromone ipsinol. So in summary, we were able to identify three enzymes that we wouldn't have been able to isolate if we didn't have genomics, or we would have, but it would have taken us a long time. And we were able to find that with these enzymes, we can produce GPP, myrcene, an intermediate ipsdienol, and ipsdienone, and both feromonal ipsdienol and ipsinol. So that just goes to show you how much fun work is when you know the answer, and that's thanks to genomics. I'd like to thank the people who did the work, mostly people in Tittiger and Blomquist lab, and also our collaborators, William Welch and Desiree Vanderwell, and also the funding agencies. And thanks for listening, and I'll take any questions. Gary?
Is there any possibility the same 12 DO4 takes ipsdienone, ipsenone?
Gary Blomquist's question was, is there any possibility that ipsdienone can be taken to ips, or if we can find the enzyme?
If the 12-DO4 you have.
Oh, if the 12-DO4 produces.
It's a bifunctional enzyme.
If ipsdienone can be converted to ipsenone by 12-DO4. And yesterday I was looking at my GCMS results, and I think I have some ipsenone in there.
Ipsdienone?
Yeah. From ipsdienone, yeah. Yeah. So I think it does catalyze the last four reactions in that pathway. But I have to do more analysis on that.
York, that's really beautiful work that you've done.
Thank you.
You found a number of enzymes that corresponding to covering all the motions of pathways in specific neurons. Now, these enzymes are not necessarily enzymes in the use of those drugs. They are like central people using some of the many different cases, GPPS, the function of the rest of the one of the GPPS. Can you trace how far away
repeat the question, sort of.
Yeah, so I believe the question is, can you see how these enzymes have evolved over time and over species?
At
least when I've blast the dehydrogenase to other enzymes, it doesn't come up very similar to other enzymes, except that it's in a specific class. But I think Gary can answer more about the GPPS activity.
That appears to be quite unique. Chris and we think is the GPPS from the mountain pine beetle, there's very little similarity. And we might expect that because mountain beetle stops at GDP, and if spinite takes the GDP plus the myrcene synthase, so we're guessing it's quite different.
Okay, so Gary answered that the GPP activity is a lot different to other enzymes, right?
Yeah. Can you ramp up production of the enzyme for commercial production of the intracellular ipsdienone for lures?
We could, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we're working with the university, and we're going to try to patent this protein in case that there is interest, and we can. And all these assays were done with unpurified protein, and I'm working on purifying it. And when I have been successful at it, I can increase its activity tenfold so far. Any questions?
Are there some further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.